everyone. Today is Wednesday, August 16th, 2017. I am Sandy Murillo.
And I am Brett Shishka.
And welcome to The Beacon. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty well. How about yourself?
Yeah, can't complain. It's already middle of the week, hump day.
Yep.
Once again, they always go by fast, the weeks do. And, you know, pretty soon we'll be thinking about the weekend again.
Yep. Well, I'm always thinking about the weekend once the weekend yes. ends. So, like, Monday comes along and I said, okay, how many more days until the weekend? Five? Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. There's
so now
still
we're
a lot.
On Wednesday and it makes me think, oh, yeah.
You can
We're
see
almost
the,
there.
You can,
I can see,
the
see the
light,
light
at the end, right?
Of the tunnel. Yep,
exactly.
Exactly. And what's nice is I don't actually work Friday, so my weekend is coming in one day. Unfortunately, you have two more days.
Two more days. And, you know, there. You know, when I first started here, I also had Fridays off.
Mm-hmm. Which is really nice.
It really is.
We really should be going to a four-day week and having three-day weekends all the time. You know, if I ever ran for president, that would be my goal. Would give everybody three-day weekends all the time.
You know, when I was little, I had this idea. I was like, man, weekends should be 5 days long, and the weekdays should be 2 days long.
Yep.
You know, they're having it the opposite way or whatever. So
yeah, I think, unfortunately, it'll be a tough sell because people like their money, and, you know, having one less day of work,
exactly.
I think some people will not like that one less day of not having that money in their pocket. I think they like their extra day off, but if you don't get paid for that day, then it makes it a little bit less, you know, sweet, I guess, of a three-day weekend.
You won't be able to spend as much on the weekend, so you might
this
not be
true.
Able to enjoy it,
yep.
you know, as much. So, speaking of the weekend, how was last weekend for you, Brett?
It was pretty good. My family finished up their vacation, so we were still out at my parents' timeshare.
Sure.
So there's a water park and stuff. So my niece and nephew, they got to play around there, and my brother and sister-in-law, they were at the water park. And I kind of just took it easy. I was kind of a little bit under the weather myself.
Sure.
But we did take a little bit of a trip to Starve Rock, and so I got to walk around there with Poet a little bit. There is some accessible paths that they have, you know, as long as you can do stairs okay.
Mm-hmm.
They have some concrete paths and stuff that you could be able to walk down, and then there's some that are gravel and sand and, you know, dirt paths and that type of thing. So
sure.
It depends on how adventurous you want to be. But me and Poet had a really good time. He seemed to at first be a little shaky. We were seeing dogs also there, so he wanted to go say hi to every single dog that was coming at us.
Of course.
And so Poet, being the friendly guy that he was, wanted to introduce himself. And so those first I'd say half hour was a bit rough, and then once we got kind of going on the trail and he started getting his treats pretty regularly, going up all the stairs that we were going up, he seemed to, you know, okay, I'm working now, let's do this. So he had a pretty good experience over at Starve Rock, and I enjoyed it too. It's been a while since I did something like that.
Sure.
You know, before I lost my sight, I did stuff like that, and so mm-hmm. this was kind of like a first experience going to something like that. And it went really, really well. My sister-in-law and my sister were very good at pointing out maybe some things that maybe Poet would have missed.
He, mm-hmm.
But he was pretty good at even navigating me around branches and stuff
good.
That were, you know, roots that were on the ground that maybe I would have missed or tripped
sure.
over.
Sure.
Yeah.
No, and the weather was beautiful for it.
It was great,
you know?
Yeah.
Can't complain.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know that, yeah, it's, for me, you know, it was much more relaxing, but nevertheless, it was fun.
Uh-huh.
On Sunday, we had a nice, we went out for dinner, actually, with my family to
That's
this
good.
Mexican seafood. We hadn't had seafood in a while,
mm-hmm.
and it was it's a seafood place, but it has kind of like a Mexican twist to it, you know,
okay.
like some of the seafood dishes you'd find in certain regions of Mexico.
Right, yep.
They serve a ton of food, so I definitely had some leftovers. I had a stuffed fish fillet. It had like clams and shrimp and crabs. So needless to say, I had a pretty, you know, I had a pretty big plate and a lot of leftovers, which was the best part.
You didn't go home hungry, it sounds
like. Not at all. Not at all.
Which is always good.
Exactly.
That's the goal when you go out to eat, is you want to make sure you're not leaving hungry.
And that you get your money's worth, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, and, you know, this has only been the second place we've been there. My dad just happened to see it. It's out in Alsip, which is a suburb of Chicago.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, we tried it, and we were happy with it. Yeah, you know, I think the best part, besides the food, of course, was just spending that time with family, and, you know, that's always the mm-hmm. best part.
I think one thing before we really get going is I want to kind of introduce people to we are now on TuneIn. And if you're interested in checking it out on TuneIn, you actually can type in Chris Chicago when you search for the station, and it will come up. So that's kind of an exciting new thing that we actually just have implemented in the last couple of weeks. So if you're wondering another place where you could be able to listen to us, other than off of our website or through Audio Now, we now have our feed through TuneIn, and that's how you would access it. So that's really
it.
Exciting.
Yep, a lot of new ways to access Chris Radio and the Beacon. And speaking of the Beacon, Brett, we have a very interesting show tonight. We have different topics, starting off with the Illinois treasurer,
mm-hmm.
who was here to visit us last week. And I know that...
surprised us.
He surprised us, that's right. But yep. A great surprise, nevertheless.
Yes.
We also have Bill Jurek, who is talking about interesting research about vision loss and women. And I know that you have a segment with...
Talking some music.
That's right.
With Music for the Blind and Bill Brown. So we have a wide variety of things to talk about. But as usual, we'll have, at the end of the show, we will have our tech segment with Brian and our new chum from across the pond.
That's right. Luke Scriven.
Luke will actually be a part of that as well. So we have all that to look forward to. And we will be back with some more Beacon right after this.
Hi, I'm Erica Borgren, Iraq veteran and director of the Illinois Department of Veterans Affairs. Our mission is to empower veterans and their families to thrive. Our agency is home to a team of veterans whose sole job is to help other veterans. But we can't do this work alone. We need Illinois veterans to stand up and be counted so we can better understand and serve our veteran community. You have already stood up to answer the call to service. Now, stand up and be counted to help the entire veteran community. Visit veterans.illinois.gov.
Good evening, everyone. I have the very distinct pleasure of talking with Illinois Treasurer Michael Frerix. Michael, did I pronounce that right?
Yeah, Mike Frerix.
Frerix, Mike Frerix. Well, Michael, thank you so much for being with us this evening. You were here at the Lighthouse for a very, very special endeavor, both for the Lighthouse and the Illinois Treasury. We recently held a press conference, in fact, and I know you came around the Lighthouse to see our programs and services, because we initiated a contract with JetPay.
Mm-hmm.
This is a call center that will help manage the e-pay system in Illinois.
Yeah, so in the Illinois Treasurer's Office, we have a couple of different programs to help out local units of government, mm-hmm. counties, municipalities. They're called e-pay, which helps them to process electronic payments, credit cards, online payments, a variety of different things, and also Illinois funds. We help them invest their money and get a greater return so they can make more money for their unit of government. And so we recently went out with a new contract to hire a new provider for our e-pay services, and we were very excited to announce that call center is going to be staffed here at the Lighthouse.
No, and it, as we heard in the press conference, you know, the Lighthouse, one of our part of our mission is to provide employment to people who are blind or visually impaired, disabled, and veterans. And I, as I understand, the call center, it will employ people who are blind and visually impaired, correct?
That is correct. That's one thing we're really excited about here today, excited to announce that not only is this program going to help a lot of units of government maximize their revenue collection and maximize their interest they're earning, but we're also going to do an awful lot of good for people with blindness or visual impairment.
Now, tell us a little bit about ePay, how consumers benefit from it. I understand that people can pay their bills.
Yeah. So people can pay their bills. They can now do this online. It used to be if you got a bill, or you got a ticket from the city, you'd have to get a stamp. You'd have to mail it in. But, you know, or maybe go in personally and deliver it. Well, we're in an age right now with computers. People don't want to do all that. They like the convenience of being able to pay at their desktop or pay on their cell phone. And so ePay helps facilitate that. So when you pay a parking ticket or a speeding ticket, when you're paying property taxes, when you're paying a fee that's owed to a unit of government, that in most cases that's processed by the Illinois State Treasurer's Office.
And, you know, that's a very interesting point that caught my attention because I myself am totally blind and technology has really made a difference, you know, even in the way that I might pay bills. You know, before it used to be that I would have to have someone read the bill out to me, you know, someone I trust, and then have assistance with submitting it. But now that it's available online, you know, through ePay, that has made a huge difference.
Yeah, it is amazing how much progress we've made. The iPhone came out about 10 years ago.
10 years ago, yes.
1 decade ago. And now there's such computing power in your pocket, and you have all kinds of apps to help out people with blindness or a visual impairment. It's just really exciting, the things we can do. And when I came into the office, we said, you know, technology has changed. Processes have changed. We need to evolve and we need to improve with them.
Absolutely. And, you know, in this case, I think what's unique about it is that it's a win-win situation. You know, people who are blind or visually impaired will become, have jobs. And, you know, with ePay, it's, the system is accessible. With both ePay and JetPay, it's, you know, accessible to customers who are blind or visually impaired.
Yeah, I can't say excited about that. We come in, we look for win-win situations. Some people in politics, they seem to come in and they want to win and they want their opponent to lose. They want all the credit. I find when you're willing to share the credit, you're able to accomplish an awful lot more. And by partnering with Lighthouse, we're going to have good customer service, but we're also going to help give people employment, people who traditionally have had high rates of unemployment.
Absolutely. And now a topic that we cover here on Sandy's View and the Beacon is disabilities and veterans. And recently, about 2 years ago, former President Obama signed into law the ABLE Act, the Achieving a Better Life Experience Act. And I understand that Illinois is a participant of this program.
Oh, we are very excited by this. This was not an option when I was running for office, but after I got elected, this became an option, and we helped push this through the General Assembly. What we found, though, is this program, ABLE, operates an awful lot like a 529 college savings program, like Bright Start or Bright Directions in our office. However, when we went out to some of those vendors, some of the financial service industry who wanted to partner with us on college savings, they didn't want to partner with us on ABLE. I thought that was just wrong. And they said, well, the pool of people who can participate is much, much smaller than the pool for college savings plans. So rather than pointing a finger or casting blame, rather than throwing up our hands and walking away, we put our thinking caps on. And we said, what would happen if we were to work with other states? If Illinois, the fifth largest state in the country, is too small to make it happen, then surely other states have some problem. We found that they did, and we found that by working together, we put out one RFP with 10 states together. We got more interest than any other individual state did in our RFP, and we also were able to negotiate the lowest fees in the country. So now Illinois will have the best program in the country. So will Iowa. So will Minnesota, Indiana, Rhode Island, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Kansas, Montana, Arizona, Nevada, Alaska have all bound themselves together to be able to effectively negotiate the best program in the country.
That's wonderful. And, you know, last week, in fact, we had Christopher Rodriguez from the National Disability Institute telling us about what the program is, the ABLE program, and how it will benefit many people with disabilities that receive Social Security or Medicaid or Medicare benefits.
Yeah, in order to qualify for those benefits, they are means tested. And that means they can't have more than $2,000 in assets. That means people can't own a home. They can't own a car. They can't have $2,001 in their checking account or they lose their benefits. If they save money through an ABLE account, they can save up to $100,000 without losing their benefits. This is going to make a tremendous difference in a lot of people's lives.
Absolutely. And how can people find out more about the ABLE program or any of the other services you offer?
Any Illinois State Treasurer's program can be found on our website at illinoistreasurer.gov. They can click on ABLE to find that or information about ePay.
Well, Michael, is there anything else you would like to share with our listeners?
Well, the only thing I would say is if they make it to our website and they can navigate through there, also look at iCash. This is our unclaimed property division. We're sitting on over $2 billion in properties that belong to the people of the state of Illinois. We'd love to get them back to people, so check and see if we have something that belongs to you. Fill out the forms, and we would like to send you a check.
Absolutely. It's always great to have that opportunity to claim back what you possibly lost. Or, it's wonderful.
Great. Well, thank you, Sandy, very much for having me here today.
Thank you.
I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about the successful partnership with Lighthouse in addition to our new program, Illinois ABLE.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Treasurer Michael Frerichs. Is that correct?
Michael Frerichs.
Frerichs.
Just think Frerijaka. Frerichs.
Frerijaka. Well, thank you so much, and thank you for everything that the State Treasury does for all of the Illinoisans.
Sandy, thank you. You have a great day.
You too.
Okay, so just type the job website address here. That's it. Then you enter what job you're looking for there.
Electrician.
This is Peter. Recently, he got help going on the internet for the first time to look for a new job.
Okay. Then you just hit search and...
In the past, Peter's gotten work through people he knew, but he heard there were more jobs online.
There we go.
These are all for me?
Uh-huh.
Really?
He had no idea just how many.
I can't believe it. This one looks good.
Peter is thinking the internet might be for him after all.
And this is just one website.
Wow. Why didn't I do this sooner?
See what the internet can help you do at everyoneon.org or call 1-855-387-9166 to find a free training class near you. Brought to you by Connect, Compete, and the Ad Council.
Well, that was a very interesting interview with Treasurer Michael Frerichs, Brett. And, you know, it's very wonderful that, you know, there's always these partnerships to provide employment to people with vision impairments and... You know, it's a win-win situation, like we mentioned with the treasurer in the interview.
Yeah, I think it's great that, you know, Dr. Janet Slick and the Chicago Lighthouse, they're really trying to expand their reach and being able to give more opportunities to people with disabilities, jobs with the call centers. And we also do have other positions and whatnot that are here at the Lighthouse, but it is giving a good stepping stone for people who want to get into the workforce who maybe haven't even tried. Mm-hmm. The Lighthouse is a good place to start, I believe, and being able to just open up a door that maybe a lot of people feel is closed to them. And I think this is just another added bonus to already the many, many different services that the Lighthouse has to offer. And so it's great to see how we're expanding that to more and more people.
That's it. Yeah, it's, you know, that's part of our mission, and we are glad that we are helping, you know, fulfill that mission.
Yeah.
But I know that Bill Jurek, who has been out for the last few weeks, he hasn't been feeling well. We wish him a speedy recovery. Mm-hmm. But he actually had a very interesting interview recently with Dr. Rebecca Taylor, who is from the American Academy of Ophthalmology. Saying that fast, Brett.
No, it's okay. I'll pass. We're trying to be professional, and if I start trying to talk fast, then it's all over after that. We might as well just go home.
Exactly, right?
Yep.
But so Dr. Taylor actually talks with Bill about interesting research that suggests that women are at a greater risk of vision loss, or either vision impairment or blindness. But why don't we hear more from Bill and Dr. Taylor?
You know, a while back, I heard somewhere or read somewhere that women are more prone to eye disease than men. And we got to get to the bottom of this. So what we did was we called the American Ophthalmologist. I'll let you say it, doctor. Go ahead.
American Academy of Ophthalmology.
American Academy of Ophthalmology. And that's Dr. Taylor joining us. She is a spokesman for the group and has private practice down in Nashville. Thanks for coming on the program this morning.
My pleasure.
Okay, let's say, what would you think would be the reason why more women are prone to eye disease than men?
Well, Bill, that's a great question, and it's something that troubles us in the practice of ophthalmology. And the American Academy of Ophthalmology put out a statement that highlights this. And there is a gender gap between eye disease that men suffer and women suffer.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not really sure why, but I can tell you there are some thoughts behind it. You know, when we think of some of the big, you know, probably the big three eye diseases that affect people in this country, they are age-related macular degeneration,
mm-hmm.
which is the leading cause of blindness after the age of 65 in our country, cataracts, which are the leading cause of blindness worldwide, as well as glaucoma. And those three, we know, women make up a higher percentage of the people that are affected. 65% of patients who have macular degeneration are women. 65%. 61%
wow.
of glaucoma. 61% of glaucoma and 61% are cataracts. And then 66% of all people that are blind are women.
No kidding. What, I mean, you came up with this statistic, but could it be age that affects the vision more for women because they live longer?
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, that's one of the big theories, is that on average, women do live longer.
Mm-hmm.
And many of these eye problems are age-related. Again, certainly age-related macular degeneration,
sure.
also cataracts and glaucoma are more likely the older you get. So if you live longer, you're more likely to have this problem. But secondly, the second thought here is that some of these eye conditions, another eye condition we haven't even mentioned, which is dry eye, is much more common in women. It
mm-hmm.
happened to be more common in women, whether the woman is older or younger. And then thirdly, unfortunately, there are social and economic factors, of course, that affect women and their access to eye care. You know, especially when we look at developing countries, it just may be more difficult for women to be seen and to have eye care.
No.
And so those are the three thoughts of why these are more prevalent in women than men.
Now, the statistic that you gave me, is that worldwide or is that just in the United States or North America?
Most of these statistics are North America, but some of them may also be some of them also are worldwide. It depends on the disease process.
Would diet have anything to do with it?
You know, that's an excellent point. Diet is one of the things that we hopefully can control that will improve a patient's health, ocular health.
Mm-hmm.
Diet is a big deal for us. A diet that's low in fat, rich in fruits and vegetables and whole grains, not only benefit the whole body, but it's really important regarding the eyes. I always have a favorite plate, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite plate for your eye health looks like this. It's a big salad with lots of dark leafy greens, because that's going to help protect you from macular degeneration.
Mm.
With on the side, we want you to have a large helping of citrus fruit. That vitamin C is going to help your eyes as far as cataracts and as far as macular degeneration.
Hmm.
And if you could have a nice big slab of cold water fish three times a week, that's going to help omega-3s, and also the proteins are very good for your eyes. So if you can have a plate that looks like that, you're going to make your ophthalmologist very, very help, very, very happy.
Yeah. I also heard something on TV locally here in Chicago the other day, and it had to do with iron. And what it said was red meat, fresh fish, and what was the third one? No, I had two of them earlier today, but I can't remember the one that I remembered before. But anyway, it was those three that if you ate those three included in the diet like you're talking about, it helped not only your heart and your blood, but it makes you stronger.
Absolutely. I have to say, with regard to women and eye disease, the American Academy of Ophthalmology has come forward, and just like, you know, it's recommended that women have a mammogram at 40, and we all have a colonoscopy, men and women, at age 50. Mm-hmm. The American Academy of Ophthalmology has come forward and said, all people need to have a medical eye exam by age 40, because the early signs of disease or changes in vision can begin at that point, and so we recommend that all patients by the age of 40 get in and see an ophthalmologist. Again, that is a physician who specializes in medical and surgical eye care, and give us an opportunity to examine your eyes, because again, this is what's a little terrifying about eye disease, is that a huge portion of vision loss in this country is due to eye disease that is completely silent. You know, if you break your leg, or you bump your arm, or you're gonna go seek medical care for whatever that is, because it's painful. The problems with the eyes, whether it's macular degeneration or cataracts or this terrible condition of glaucoma, you can begin to have that early on in your life or in the middle of your life, and you do not know it unless you get checked. And once it's gone, it's gone. This is a huge issue, too, for people who have a family history.
Mm-hmm.
If you have macular degeneration in your family, you have a 50% chance of developing the condition. If you have glaucoma in your family, you are 4 to 9 times more likely to have that condition.
Wow.
So we really encourage people by age 40, you need to have a dilated eye exam with an ophthalmologist, again, who specializes in medical surgical eye care.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully, hopefully that will prevent you from losing vision.
Totally vision, yeah. I had I developed glaucoma, but I already had premature retinopathy.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's one of the maladies that could hit you because of the premature retinopathy. And, I just happened to draw that bad card. But I understand they're doing a lot of work as far as glaucoma is concerned. I know there's a doctor up here at Northwestern, and I can't think of her name, but she seems to have unlocked or found the key in the lock to find out the gene that that causes glaucoma, and it would be a drop type of solution. But there's also another doctor, and I don't know if you know him or not, Dr. Cialino, I believe his name is. He's out at Harvard, and he is working with the MIT doctors to develop a lens that will distribute the medication on a constant basis, steadily, as opposed to, you know, 3 or 4 times a day, whatever the case may be, you know. But
yeah, I have to say, when I see my patients, I feel like I feel so grateful.
Mm-hmm.
I feel so grateful for all those people that are on the front lines, all those people who, and for us on taking care of patients, we really are grateful for the developments. I think about just even, you know, 20 years ago, what was not available in terms of macular degeneration care. You know, again, we're talking about women and their risk of having a higher risk of blindness than men.
Sure.
You know, women, for example, are postmenopausal women are 2 times more likely to have dry eyes. They have some conditions. 9 out of 10 patients are women, like Sjogren's syndrome, which is an autoimmune disease that can cause dryness of the eyes. When we look at what's happening on the forefront, not only in glaucoma and macular degeneration, but to help these people who are really struggling in their daily life. And again, I think what's amazing is, for example, I had a patient last week who came in And she said, you know, I've been using my computer. I use my computer a lot. Mm-hmm. She started this new job. She sits in front of a computer many hours a day. Then she's using her smartphone. Then she goes home, and she's doing some computer work, and she's reading. And all day long, she's really focusing with her eyes. And what's happening is her eyes are getting red. And I take a look at her, and sure enough, she has these dry spots on the front of her eyes. She didn't know her eyes were dry. Her eyes were just uncomfortable and red.
Right, right.
And I had an opportunity to talk to her and say, wait, let's talk about some of the other things that you may be experiencing. And she said, you know what, I've been kind of keyed up, and my blood pressure is a little high, and my hair is changing, and I've got some bowel problems. And sure enough, she had all the symptoms of high thyroid disease.
Mm.
And so, and the way it was manifesting to her was that her eyes were dry. And
right.
This is where all of these conditions, especially a lot of these autoimmune conditions we're talking about, can affect women, and or can affect anybody, but can affect
sure.
women in great numbers. And so it's always been fascinating to me that we say the eye is the window to the soul, and I'd say the eye can be the window to your health.
Right.
And
right.
so take an opportunity to take care of yourself, because you may have something that you know, I'll just go get the red out drop and take care of it, when really your thyroid is overactive, and it could lead to blindness among mm-hmm. a whole host of things. So it really is. It's important to take these things seriously, and we don't know why these disparities exist between men and women, but we do know that they do. And I'm just, you're brilliant to take this topic on, because it's something that I think is underappreciated, and I really appreciate the fact that you can take time to talk about these things.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I was quite sick earlier this year, and I learned a lot about nutrition and how important it is to eat right, because we have terrible eating habits in this country, dietary. It's easy to stop in and get a burger on the
yeah.
run, but that's, I mean, come on, you're eating nothing but grease when you think about it. And nothing that's good for you, French fries, all of that stuff. We become accustomed to it as children because the generation, God bless our parents and that, but mm-hmm. that's what they, you know, they got into that. So, you know, eating fats,
well, and I think,
preservatives.
I think you're absolutely right, and I think that if we can maintain a really solid diet, I think when we do look back at our grandparents, grandparents, great-grandparents, they all ate off the land. And if we can think more about eating off the land, mm-hmm. eating good, clean food and trying to move towards that, that's what our body needs.
Yep.
Our body needs pure, clean food, and I think that's so important. The other thing that we also talk about a lot in ophthalmology that we get as we go through medical school and do our surgical and medical fellowship or residencies and fellowship, there's some other things that are very important for our eyes. One is to stop smoking.
Mm-hmm.
Smoking increases the risk for eye disease such as cataract and macular degeneration. You know, the leading cause of loss of life in women is cardiovascular disease.
Right.
And smoking affects that tremendously. We talked a little bit about thyroid disease. People who smoke cigarettes and have thyroid disease, like Graves' disease, have a substantial risk to having eye disease. Remember Marty Feldman, who had the
yes.
kind of the bulging eyes? He had thyroid eye disease. So, and smoking can also worsen dry eyes. We also remind people that other than, you know, putting good things in your body, protect your body from the outside. For our eyes, it's so important to avoid ultraviolet radiation from the sun.
Mm-hmm.
So we encourage people to wear sunglasses. And this sounds so simple. And people ask me all the time, you know, Dr. Taylor, is it how dark the sunglasses are? I can get a really dark pair. And I have to tell them, you know what? Inexpensive, over-the-counter, light or dark-colored sunglasses, it doesn't matter. What matters is that little sticker that you peel off of the sunglasses that says UV protection.
Right.
Sometimes it'll say 100% or 99% UV protection or 400 nm. All that means that it's blocking the UV rays from the sun, because that can cause three things: cataracts, growths around the eye, some of which may be cancer,
mm-hmm.
and macular degeneration. So we want people to take good things into their body, don't put bad things in your body.
Right, okay? Definitely, yeah.
But also protect yourself from the outside with sunglasses and hats. That's gonna set you up for good success with your eyes.
Now, if somebody hears this interview, we're going to have it available on a podcast. But if they want to hear or see more about it, there's a website out, obviously, the Academy has, correct?
That's exactly right. The American Academy of Ophthalmology has a website that's available, and it's a good one. And what it does too is that there is an entire section that's dedicated to eye health, mm-hmm. and it's a wonderful area where consumers can go on. They can learn about eye health, and it's just www.aao.org.
Okay.
American Academy of Ophthalmology.org. And, you know, another great thing about that website, I'll tell you, let's say that you move to, you know, maybe I moved to Chicago and I need to find a new ophthalmologist. You can go on that website, and there's a little area where you can find an ophthalmologist that's near you and get checked for all of these things. But more importantly, there's so much information that we've put there for you,
mm-hmm.
On that website that you can follow up with. Any condition you're interested in, goodness, we are nerds when it comes to eye care. We can't be more excited about it than we are. So
that's a good thing, though.
Please,
we need people like that.
AAO.org.
Yeah, we need that. You got a great city down there. Try to avoid coming up here because it gets cold in the winter. Really cold in the winter.
Thank you.
So, listen, thank you for joining me today. I think hopefully we've helped somebody and at least encourage them to go see an ophthalmologist and to get the ball rolling on making sure that they are having healthy eyes. That's about what it amounts to.
That's what it amounts to. Bill, thank you for having me. It's a real pleasure.
No problem. What's your first name? I never did.
That's okay. It's Rebecca Taylor.
Dr. Rebecca Taylor, who is a spokesman for the American Academy of Ophthalmology. I got it. I did it right. You have a great day and enjoy that great city down there, because we went through there going to Florida, and it is just a nice, nice city.
Thank you for saying so.
Okie doke. Have a great day.
All right. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Well, that was very, very interesting. I think it's interesting how certain things can pop up for being more common in women, being more common in men, and then also race comes into a lot of it. You know, people are more prone, you know, depending on what race you are, to having specific diseases. And so, you know, when they're doing these different types of research and figuring this out, it does kind of make you realize that we are a complicated breed, us humans.
That's it.
And that every different, you know, background that you come from can really affect your health in a lot of different ways. I thought that was very interesting.
In a way, like they say, we're the same but different, you
right.
know.
Yep.
And even our lifestyles or different factors mm-hmm. that might contribute. And I know, speaking of lifestyles, you know, some people might not be into research, but might actually enjoy doing other things like playing musical instruments.
Well, that's a great segue. You went right into what I wanted, my segment's about, which is actually, for those of you who are like me, who would like to learn an instrument, I actually got to talk to Bill Brown from Music for the Blind, and we actually had a chance to kind of talk about how do you teach a person who's blind the best way of being able to learn a musical instrument? And he actually talks about 12 different instruments that his service actually covers, from piano to guitar, if you wanted to learn the drums, and even the penny whistle. The penny whistle, I never even thought about in like my wildest dreams to learn how to play it, but you can learn it through Music for the Blind. So let's give it a listen to me and Bill Brown talking about Music for the Blind. I have Bill Brown with me from Music for the Blind. I am Brett Shishkoff, as you know, and Music for the Blind. Well, Bill, why don't you just describe to our listeners what exactly it is and how you exactly got it started?
Well, Music for the Blind is the website where we have all of our courses that are taught completely by ear. And we have beginner courses that we call Intro to courses, like Intro to the Guitar, Intro to the Piano, Intro to the Banjo, and those are beginner courses. We have those courses for over a dozen different instruments.
Mm-hmm.
And they just take an absolute beginner and teach them how to play the instrument using no visual cues at all. So there's no print, there's no video, there's no braille. It's all done completely by ear. And most of the courses are 4 to 5 CDs. We still have them on tape, but most people have moved over to CD or the downloadable format, which they can get off the website.
Mm-hmm.
It's a zip file that you unzip, and you have a 4 folders full of MP3s that you can slide over to your iDevice or just play it on your computer. So it's a little bit easier to work with in that format.
Mm-hmm.
But what's really exciting is that once they get those basic courses down for about 4 or 5 of the instruments, we have more lessons after that. Like for the guitar course and piano course, there is a course two for both of those.
Mm-hmm.
But also there's individual songs that are taught by ear as well. And for the guitar, there's well over 400 songs that are taught by ear. And for the piano, about over 300. And these are songs like for the piano, like Furry Lease, Minuet in G, all of your typical songs you want to learn on the piano.
Mm-hmm.
They're taught in that same by ear format. And so if somebody has the basics down, like from taking the beginner course, then they can jump into those individual lessons and start learning those. And those are as cheap as $10 a piece if you get them as a download.
Okay.
So imagine having somebody teach you Furry Lease, all 4 pages of it,
mm-hmm.
completely by ear for $10, and you just do it in your home. I mean, that's pretty incredible.
Yeah, that is.
Especially when you look at the price of, finding a teacher,
mm-hmm.
much less finding a teacher that can work with someone who's visually impaired.
Right. So then, like, where did you come up with the concept of, teaching people by ear? Like, that is something that, for me, I've always been visually impaired, and then I lost the last part of my sight a few years ago. So I have some music theory from my previous schooling, but now not being able to see, how to learn music, reading it in Braille, all of that is another skill that I'd have to try and learn. But now with something like this, that kind of, pushes you past that and more using what you use when you are playing an instrument. You want to use your ears more so than anything else. You don't really want to look down at the instrument if you can avoid it. So how did you come up with this concept exactly?
Well, you actually kind of touched on it and you didn't even realize you did. I've been recording lessons for my students to take home
mm-hmm.
To learn songs by ear, because even my sighted students learn songs by ear. And I had learned by ear when I was, a tween, 11 to 13. And I had a guitar teacher who, even though he could read and write music, he wouldn't write anything down for me. I mean, he made me learn all these songs by ear. And when you force somebody to do that, and force is the operative word,
mm-hmm.
it makes you use the verbal centers of your brain,
mm-hmm.
which are highly developed and highly connected to one another. But if you're dealing with print or braille, you're having to use like 4 or 5 different sections of your brain that really don't work together usually.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about it, reading and even braille reading is something that we've invented for us to do, but it's not something we come naturally able to do, like verbal.
Mm-hmm.
So by learning by ear, you're activating the verbal centers. And if you can get those going, working for you, then you recognize what you're hearing and where it is on the instrument almost intuitively. Just like if you picked up the phone and you talk to your mom, I mean, you know her voice in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
You just recognize it. And that's your verbal centers. They're just really good at identifying things like that.
Right.
So by forcing me to not use music, it attached what I was hearing with what I was doing on the guitar. So I can pick out just about anything on the guitar by ear, and was doing it quite young, actually. And you can do the same thing for piano. Well, I have my students here, even though we do learn to read music,
mm-hmm.
I have them learn songs by ear. And once again, it's to make that attachment to what they're hearing, that particular sound, that tone, that chord on their instrument. And so the next time they hear it, they know where it is on their instrument. So I had recorded those lessons and been using those and sending them home with people, and even had some on the internet available.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the early stages of the internet, like around 1990. But then I had a blind student that came to me for lessons, and I sent him home with these tapes, and he learned them even faster than my sighted students. And it makes sense, because when you're visually impaired, you really rely more on your other senses, And even they're showing now that even the optical centers of your brain get hijacked by the other centers, and it uses that space up to do like hearing and touch and all that, so that you're more sensitive. So he did really well with it. It was my wife who said, you know, if you can make a beginner course for the blind, they could learn the basics anywhere on the planet, and then they could start using these tapes you've already made anywhere. And that was just a magical thought. And so we made that beginner course, the intro to the guitar, for the visually impaired, and we put it, I think, in the Matilda Ziegler magazine. They carried it, and we got orders from Scotland, for, of all places, in Ireland. It was weird. And so it kind of grew, but what really made it take off is when the National Library Service started, I guess, carrying, I'm not sure how long they've been already doing books on tape, but this qualified as a book on tape. And so they first of all just bought like one of them. I just gave it to them. I was just jazzed to be in the Library of Congress.
Yep.
But then about 2 years later, they ordered like 25 of them. I said, well, you have to pay for those. So, we sent those to them. And then about 2 years after that, they said, well, what else do you have in this format? And I said, well, I've got all these other guitar lessons I've taught on tape. And they bought like 10 of each of those. And so then they said, what else you got? I said, well, nothing, but I'll make you something. So I made the piano course. And then they said, well, people want to know about banjo. People want to know about... So they would tell me what their customers were wanting. And then I would make those courses up, and they would buy a batch of them. And then I would put them on the website as well in case anybody wanted to own the course,
right?
Just to have their own copy. And so that we kind of grew together, the National Library Service's offerings of my material along with my website, and so they grew simultaneously. Then the Royal National Institute for the Blind buys my stuff regularly, and the VA, Heinz VA, and the Long Beach VA.
Okay.
Like today, I've got like an order for like six of the piano and the piano course too from the Heinz VA. And they're making them available to the vets where they can just drop ship them. So I basically send it right to the vet, and Heinz VA picks up the tab.
That's
so
awesome.
That's a pretty incredible event, you know.
Yep. So then you kind of touched on the National Library Service. So how exactly I talked to you or sent you an email asking about that first lesson. I know you people who have barred, a lot of our listeners are blind and visually impaired. So that first lesson is something that you'd have to get the cartridges for, is what you were explaining to me. And then the rest of that.
We started out putting it on the barred system, along with all the other piano by ear, guitar by ear stuff. But what happened was that because of copyright issues, the barred system was way more popular than John Hansen and I had suspected it would be. And he's the one that first taught me into putting them on there. And it was more like, well, let's kind of see how this goes. And unfortunately, a lot of the by-ear things, that wasn't that big of a deal, but the intro courses, they were, you know, probably downloading those like, you know, 200 to 400 times a year, and which is great, you know. But at the same time, there's certain copyright issues in law because of the digital copyright law that came out probably about the same time as Napster and all that. So
right.
Downloaded items are treated as a new reproduction of the item.
Okay.
And it's not like, and therefore it is under the copyright law as a new item, which means that I'm responsible for all the royalties for that new item.
Gotcha.
So I can see right away that this is going to be a killer. And so we just backed it up to the cartridge, because the cartridge, you know, that you buy that, it's just like you're buying a copy and you're just checking it out. And so that's different. But the download, it just changed the whole landscape. So I just didn't want to get into trouble up the road legally.
Right.
But all the other, the piano by ear and the guitar by ear, the individual lessons, they are on the barred system. There's like about 1,000 of those.
Yeah, there's a bunch. I was scrolling through them, and so I was really impressed on the wide variety that's there. And why don't you just go into how many different instruments you actually do cover, and then which ones are they, just so our listeners know that, you know, if they wanted to learn a specific instrument, you probably could teach them.
Right. Well, I'm going to my website now, musicfortheblind.com, and we got piano, guitar, bass, and banjo, and then I got this other thing that says other instruments. Let's just do this pull down and see what it says. And so there you have saxophone, violin, ukulele, harmonica, flute, mandolin, trumpet, drums, and a penny whistle. So if you ever wanted to learn to play the penny whistle. So that's about, you know, a dozen different instruments there, because we, for the harmonica, or rather the ukulele, we do it for the soprano, the tenor, and the baritone ukulele.
Okay.
For the saxophone, we have beginner courses for the alto, soprano, and the tenor.
Very nice.
So whatever instrument they have, you know, the saxophones or ukulele, we have a course for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the piano and guitar that have, you know, lessons beyond just the basic course. And so does the saxophone, the bass, and the flute. They have additional song lessons as well. So once you get the basics down from those beginner courses, there's more songs to learn in those categories.
Very good. So why don't we finish up with how can people access this information, be able to look at what's available to them? And then I believe you guys have also some audio samples that if people want to listen to it a little bit to see what the quality's like and, you know, is it going to be detailed enough? They can,
sure.
How can they check that out?
Yeah, I would go to the website. The website has everything on it. It's www.musicfortheblind.com. And you'll find it is accessible. It's done in a WordPress format with all the plugins to make it accessible for those who are visually impaired. You can adjust the print. Works with screen readers. I've had several of my customers go to it and check it out to make sure that it works well.
Mm-hmm.
And it does. And so there you can see the different categories of the instruments. And then if, like for instance, you're to tap on piano courses. Let it get over there real quick. I'm back in a back office, so it's having to go through the walls. But you'll have not only a sample of me teaching it,
mm-hmm.
you'll also have a sample of the songs that you'll be learning.
Right.
And almost all of these courses come with backing tracks to play with, too, which makes it a lot of fun.
Yep.
That way, once you learn it, you can play along with tracks, like having a band with you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also, if you go to, like, and you should have a link at the bottom of the Piano by Ear, right. If you go to the piano courses page, at the very bottom, there's a link to Piano by Ear. If you go over there, that's all the individual song lessons that are taught for the piano totally by ear.
Mm-hmm.
And that's laid out in just more of a typical HTML format, so it should be really easy for screen readers. Actually, I think this one is a WordPress now. I think we've converted that one over.
Yeah, I was on your website, and I'm actually blind, and I was using JAWS, and it was working beautifully. There wasn't any issues, so kudos to that.
Right, yeah, they've done a really good job. Like I said, I used to have to write my own code or get my brother,
mm-hmm.
who does all that, to write code, and you're constantly changing it. And when WordPress came out, I was a little meh, but then as it got better and better reviews, and they realized they could do more with it other than just blogging.
Right.
And it became a little more usable in that format. And then plus also, I built a couple of test sites and then sent my visually impaired customers there that I knew had JAWS. Just to go through it, and they loved it. So it was like, okay, we're in.
Yep.
So I've been trying to get everything converted over to that format, because it seems to be, you know, reliable and easy to edit, which I like that. I mean, I can do the HTML, but I would just rather not.
Right. All right, Bill. Thank you for coming on the show. I definitely appreciate it very much, and I hope that our listeners will be able to go to your website and check out a few things, and maybe we'll all here in our listener base will start our own band, and we can thank Music for the Blind and Bill for all the hard work that you've put in.
Absolutely. I appreciate you helping me spread the word.
Not a problem. My pleasure. So, Sandy, I have a question for you.
What's that?
If you could learn an instrument, what instrument would it be and why?
You know, when I was little, I was interested in the piano for a few months,
uh-huh.
but then I lost interest.
Uh-huh.
Maybe the drums.
The drums?
Yeah.
Like banging on stuff?
Exactly.
Get the aggression out.
Exactly.
You know,
get
the week has been rough on you.
Stress out. And, yep, exactly.
Bad day, you get the, you know, bang on some drums and
get
all that aggression out.
Great excuse to practice and bang on the drums and...
You know, your parents are asking you to do some chores or go and do something and, sorry, I can't hear you, the drums are too loud.
That's right.
Yep. Yeah, I hear you on that one. That's a good one. I have a long list that
sure.
I really want to learn. So, like, the piano is the first one, but I also want to learn how to play the guitar.
you know, harmonica, I thought was a good one, that he actually does teach you how to play the harmonica. And it's all by ear, which is great. You mm-hmm. know,
yeah.
we have ears. Our eyes kind of stink That's when right. it comes to us visually impaired.
They don't
blind
exactly
people.
Work.
Yeah. So being able to read music is not something that I'm able to do. So if there's a way for me to be able to learn how to play a song by using the sense that actually works pretty well for me, which is my ears, might as well.
Yeah, no, that's great that, you know, quite a variety about of instruments
yep.
for different people.
Yeah, and it's great because you get all of it online, and mm-hmm. it's very easy to get through the bar. You can get all of those lessons through Bard, and so that's a really good service. There's a lot of it that's free mm-hmm. to most of us who are part of the, you know, Bard service and National Library Service for the mm-hmm. Blind. But moving on, we have still one more segment. It's my favorite segment, actually, of the show. I always love Tech Talk.
You know, me and you both, Brett.
Yeah, so it really is what helps me on a daily basis. And so I love hearing what Luke and Brian talk about each week. And so why don't we sit back and relax and get some good tech information from Luke Scribbins and Brian Hawkins.
Well, updates. That is what today's topic is, and Luke Scriven is here with us to go through some of the products that have updates for you. But before we get to that, Luke, we've you know, previously when Tom was here, we called it Tom's Corner,
mm-hmm.
and there's been some discussion as to what we should name this segment. Any ideas? Or
well, that's a tough one. I mean, I guess the obvious would be Luke's Corner, but I don't know if that's stealing too much from Tom there. So, do you have any suggestions yourself?
No. I did hear one called Luke's Lair, but I don't think I like that.
Sounds a bit ominous.
Yes, it does.
Maybe we can have a think about it and try and come up with something for the next show.
Yeah, and if anybody out there has any ideas, they can always call in
yep,
here at the great. Station. But updates. There are three products, so to speak, that have updates. The first being an electronic magnifier, right?
Yeah, so we just recently got a new handheld electronic magnifier, which is called the Lily. It's a 3.5-inch screen, so it's one of the smaller devices. What we like about it is it's high definition, which is always good, really nice clear picture. It goes from 2x to 24x. Which is a really wide range of magnification. And the best thing about it is it's only $199. So we think it's going to be a really popular device. And I encourage people to come and take a look at it.
And it's something that's portable, you can take with you. And
yeah, exactly. So you can put it in your pocket. You can take it to a restaurant and read a menu. You can take it to a store and look at a product. So definitely versatile and easy to carry around.
All right. And next, for folks who are bilingual, have more than one language, other than English, I guess, OrCam has an update that they may be interested in.
Yeah, so for those people who don't know what OrCam is, it's a what they call an OCR device, optical character recognition. And this allows you to take a picture of a page of text and have it read aloud to you, which is really neat. The OrCam is kind of unique in that it is a little camera that mounts to the side of your glasses, and so it's very portable and discreet, and it works really well. So previously, they have had other languages available, but you had to buy the device with the specific language that you wanted, so it could only have one language on it at a time. Now, though, they're shipping the US units with English, Spanish and French all built in, and you can select whichever language you want. So if you have a document in any of those languages, just select the correct language, take a picture, and it will read it to you in the appropriate voice.
Now, if you've purchased the OrCam already, can you get this update?
Yeah, that's what's great about a lot of these modern devices, actually. They're all software-based, and so people who buy the device early on, they don't lose out when new features come out, because you can just either download the new updates, or in this case, they actually send you an SD card, and you swap out the SD card that's in your device with the new one, and turn it on, and hey presto, you've got the new software.
And do they do that automatically, or do you have to call and request it?
Actually, they do it automatically. They're really good with it. So they will okay. ship you the new SD card out, and everybody who's got the device should have received the training that they needed in order to take the bottom panel off and swap out the card. If anybody didn't, then I would be more than happy to help them out with that.
Okay. Now, great news for Those of you with who use the iPhone, but for Android, not so much.
No, not so much.
Microsoft has a new update, a new app, actually.
Yeah, this one's really interesting. It came out a few weeks ago, so I'm a little behind the times on this one, but it's a really cool app. It's called Seeing AI is the name of it. And it is only for Apple devices at the moment, but it's free, which is great. And what it allows you to do is, well, a number of different things. Mm-hmm. It can do the OCR that I was talking about with the OrCam. So you can take a picture of a page of text with your device and it will read it to you. It also has facial recognition. So you can take a picture of a person. It can tell you their age and what kind of expression they have on their face, which is kind of interesting. In our test so far, it's been pretty accurate, generally within a year of a person's age. Although I did have one instance where a girl who was 30, first of all, it said she was 34, and then we took another picture and it decided she was 23. So but it might still be a little bit of work to do there. But other things it has, product recognition. It has a database of products, and it can identify those for you. And it can also do bill identification, which is useful. So this is a free app for those people who have heard of the KNFB Reader. And that's been a really popular OCR app, but it costs on the Apple phones usually $99 unless it's on sale. And this one is free and it works, you know, just as well. So definitely encourage people if they have an Apple device to download it and give it a try.
Oh wow, that's wonderful! Now, folks want to come in and test drive any of these things. How do they get in touch with you?
So they can call me 312-997-3649. I can also be reached via email, luke.scriven@chicagolighthouse.org. And I should also mention that we have an online store where you can kind of, you know, take a look at the latest products. And that's at lighthousetoolsforliving.com. And that's going to be having a redesign soon, so it's going to look even cooler than it does at the moment. That's going to go live next week. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if you like watching videos of products to get an idea of what they're like, we have a YouTube channel, and we try to keep up to date with all of the latest devices on there. And if you go to YouTube and type in Chi Lighthouse, so that's C-H-I Lighthouse, you should be able to find our channel and watch a bunch of the videos.
And if you want other interaction, there are roadshows.
Yeah, so we have a couple of roadshows coming up. For those people who haven't been to one before, it's just a really nice way. You can come out and see a bunch of products that we have brought out to the suburbs, try stuff out for yourself, talk with our technology specialists to get an idea of what might work for you. So we have two coming up with August 30th at Wheeling Township, and that's located at 1616 North Arlington Heights Road. And then October 5th at Palos Hills Community Center, and that's 8455 West 103rd Street. And I'm hoping to get some more booked in between those as well. So keep your ears peeled to the broadcasts, and hopefully in an upcoming show I'll be able to tell you some more that we have.
And so if folks want to book a show, to have you come out with your team, they just give you a call then?
Yeah, that would be great. If anybody thinks that their community could benefit from this kind of service, then please give me a call. I would be more than happy to discuss that with you.
All right. He's Luke Scriven. I'm Brian Hawkins. This is The Beacon.
Well, Brett, we have covered so many topics by this point, and believe it or not, it's time for us to wrap up the show.
You mean the hour is up?
The hour is up, Brett.
Man, it flew by way too fast.
It always does. They say time flies when you're
happy. We definitely do not spend enough time together, Sandy. What are we going to do?
Right.
I guess we'll just have to do it next week.
That's so. That sounds like a plan, Brett.
All right.
We invite everyone to tune in, both on the website and on TuneIn, the TuneIn app. You just search for Chris Chicago, and you will be listening to us in no time.
And that's C-R-I-S for Chris Radio. You know, a lot of people might think it's spelled differently, but for us, it's C-R-I-S Chicago on TuneIn, and then you also can access us on our website at www.chicagolighthouse.org/radio and click the Listen Live link, or if you miss us live, you can listen to us on our podcast, which is also on that same page.
At any time of the day, you know, for everyone's convenience. feel free to tune in and whatever method is best for you. And thank you so much for your support. If you have any comments, topic suggestions, questions, you can email me at Sandy, Sandy.Murillo at ChicagoLighthouse.org.
You can also contact me if you'd like at Brett, Brett, period, Shishkoff, which is Shishkoff, at ChicagoLighthouse.org.
Once again, thank you to Dr. Janet Slick, our president and CEO, and to Chris Radio Director Brian Hawkins for making this broadcast possible.
It's been a fun show.
It really has.
And I think it's time for us to, you know,
to hit the road.
Hit the road and move on to other things. But we will be back very, very soon with another great episode of The Beacon. Thank you again, Sandy, for joining me.
Thank you. Everyone, stay tuned and have a great night.